Tired of spending all evening looking for something to watch? Introducing Sky Stream, the new way to get Sky without a dish, where all your shows from all your apps and channels are in one place. Stream unmissable Sky exclusives like True Detective and The Regime starring Kate Winslet, and Netflix shows like The Gentlemen, all in one simple bill for just €25 a month for 12 months. Search Sky Stream today. New customers only. 12-month minimum term. Requires broadband. The regime available 8th of April. Further terms apply.
Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.
If you like the Indo Daily, you can follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just a note before we start, this podcast makes reference to sexual violence. Today on the Indo Daily, killer Graham Dwyer is seeking a retrial. The 50-year-old Foxhawk architect's appeal against his 2015 conviction for the gruesome murder of childcare worker Elaine O'Hara has finally got underway.
Dwyer had been involved in a secret sadomasochistic relationship with her at the time she died. The tack being taken by his legal team relates to this issue of mobile phone metadata. Dwyer successfully challenged the law under which that metadata was seized by the guards. And this was a key part of the Garda case when it came to identifying Graham Dwyer as a suspect.
A judge threatened to remove Dwyer from the courtroom after the killer repeatedly interrupted the prosecution.
Dwyer objected at that point, saying, "I didn't say any of that." Then there was two further interruptions in quick succession, and this led to a warning from the president of the court. If Graham Dwyer continued to interrupt, he would be taken down to the cells.
I'm Fionnán Sheehan, and today on the Indo Daily, I'm joined by Legal Affairs Editor Shane Phelan to take us through the appeal case. Shane, Graham Dwyer, he's back in court. Why?
So this is Graham Dwyer's long-awaited appeal against his 2015 conviction for the murder of childcare worker Elaine O'Hara. Dwyer had been involved in a secret sadomasochistic relationship with her at the time she died. His appeal was paused because he went off on a different route in the civil courts for a while. He was basically seeking to challenge the law under which his mobile phone metadata was retained and seized by Gardaí. And this was a key part of the Garda case when it came to identifying Graham Dwyer as a suspect. They were able to cross-reference his metadata to cross-reference his movements against those of Elaine O'Hara and various other bits of evidence that they got. So his appeal, it started on Thursday, and it ran then into Friday as well.
We did have fairly dramatic scenes, though, in court on Friday.
That's right. The first day of the appeal, Graham Dwyer would have sat there just basically observing and was pretty placid. I describe him as being attentive. You could see he was taking in everything. But then on Friday, he began to take exception to some of the things that were being said by counsel for the DPP. Friday was the DPP's day to have their say on the various points of appeal. And what set him off really was a contention by Sean Gearan, the senior counsel for the DPP, that a text retrieved from a burner phone and attributed to Dwyer had said that he wanted to stick his knife into flesh while he was sexually aroused, and that blood turned him on and he'd like to stab a girl to death. And Mr. Gearan said that the prosecution's case was that Dwyer meant what he said and did what he said he was going to do in this particular text message. And Dwyer, he didn't stand up or anything. He remained sitting down, but he interjected at that point, saying, "I didn't say any of that." And then there was two further interruptions in quick succession, things that Mr. Gearan said that Graham Dwyer didn't agree with. And this led to a warning from the president of the court, Mr. Justice Birmingham, that basically if Graham Dwyer continued to interrupt, he would be taken down to the cells. After that, there wasn't another word out of him. He kept quiet and he restrained himself to just writing post-it notes and passing them to his lawyer.
What's his demeanour and appearance like?
Well, he was smartly dressed. He's wearing a navy suit, white shirt, a navy tie. He looks a little bit thinner than maybe the last time we've seen him in court. He's cut his hair. It's quite tight. He looks like someone who was maybe keeping fit in prison.
Can you recap the rather gruesome murder of Elaine O'Hara?
So Elaine O'Hara, she went missing in August of 2012. And it was something of a mystery, you know, what happened to her. And the answer to that mystery kind of came only 13 months later when remains were found in a forest at Killachie in the Dublin Mountains. And these turned out to be her. And Gardaí immediately knew, look, we have a murder hunt here on our hands. Within days of her body being found, they made a key discovery. A Garda found some discarded mobile phones and keys and other evidence in a reservoir down in at Vartry, just outside Roundwood, County Wicklow. And these phones and evidence they were able to retrieve from these phones, remarkably really, text messages and so on, to kind of set them on the path to a successful investigation in the case.
What do we know about the grounds that Graham Dwyer is using here to take his appeal?
So initially, he would have filed 12 grounds of appeal. Now some of these weren't put forward to the court, so things were narrowed somewhat. The main ground relates to this issue of mobile phone metadata. Dwyer successfully challenged the law under which that metadata was seized by the guards, and the Court of Appeal was basically told that, look, these rulings, they had to be respected. In particular, it was a ruling from the Court of Justice from the EU was referenced. But the tack being taken by his legal team has differed from what it was in the trial. At the trial, they were arguing for the complete exclusion of that evidence. Now they're basically saying that there should have been a test applied to weigh up whether that evidence should have been included. And because they didn't get that test at the trial, that Graham Dwyer is now entitled to have a retrial. So that's kind of where they're going with that particular issue. But there's a host of other grounds as well. There's some of the stuff sounded stronger than others. One of us was the other particularly strong from Dwyer's point of view grounds was that there was an absence of evidence of causation. Now, this is basically his contention that the prosecution was unable to prove or determine the cause of death. Now, you have to bear in mind, Fionnán, this poor woman, her remains, they were up in a mountain forest for 13 months. They were interfered with by animals and so on. By the time a pathologist came to examine her, pathologist wasn't able to determine how precisely she had died. Then the Dwyer's team say, look, the prosecution's case is that he stabbed her to death, but they're asking the question, where is the evidence of this? Pathology evidence doesn't support it. Another thing that they point to under this heading is that Elaine O'Hara was someone who was in receipt of psychiatric care, and there were periods where she expressed suicidal ideation and things like that. One psychiatrist basically gave evidence that a period after discharge from psychiatric care was a, quote, risky time, and Elaine O'Hara had just been discharged. So the point being made by Dwyer's team there was that the issue of suicide remained live and large in the case, and there was nothing in the prosecution that took it out. So they're basically saying you can't discount the possibility that she committed suicide. Now, that's been countered by the lawyers for the DPP. Their argument is that, okay, you know, the pathology evidence isn't there or whatever, but because of the accumulation of a whole load of other evidence, that it is possible for the jury to infer what the cause of death was. Also, and this is a crucial point that they make, is that if Elaine O'Hara did commit suicide, then how did her mobile phone and her keys end up in a reservoir many, many miles away from where her body was found?
Another ground is the trial judge's facial expressions.
Yeah, there was, an allegation that the trial judge, Mr. Justice Tony Hunt, glared at Graham Dwyer and shook his head at a critical stage in the evidence. It was put forward by Dwyer's side that this was effectively an adverse commentary on the evidence and that it deprived Dwyer of a fair trial. It was basically said that the jury could pick up on non-verbal cues, that something had triggered the judge. This ground obviously is being resisted by counsel for the DPP, and you can see even the judges of the court they didn't seem to buy into it all of that much. I mean, George Birmingham, the president of the court, he remarked that, you know, well, some of the evidence at the trial was by any standards very shocking. So I think that they could understand if a judge's facial expression changed or whatever at any point. One of the points that was made by the counsel for the DPP was that, look, you know, even if the judge did glare or whatever, that it didn't really matter because the judge had said repeatedly, time and time and time again, that the jury could only make up their mind on the case based on the evidence before them and not anything else. They had to disregard everything else.
Also among disturbing evidence were videos played to the jury of Dwyer having sex with women.
Yeah, so this, I suppose, came under a heading of what the Dwyer's legal team would call prejudicial grounds. There were 11 video clips found on an external hard drive that Dwyer owned. And in 9 of these clips, he was engaged in sexual activity with women. It was 3 women in total. Some of the clips involved both him and the victim in this case, Elaine O'Hara. And there were scenes in the videos where a knife was being used by Graham Dwyer and where he either stabbed or pretended to stab the women. And the argument that was made during the trial by Dwyer's team was, look, this is totally prejudicial for the jury to see the videos because of the visceral reaction that they might have. And this was basically said in court during the appeal as well, that the fear here was, it was nothing to do with modesty or anything like that. It was that the jury would be overwhelmed and that their ability to remain impartial would be affected. And what they had argued for was that a narrative version would be given to the jury. So basically, a description would be read out by a detective. Countering that, counsel for the DPP, Anne-Marie Lawler, said during the appeal that basically what was being proposed here was to deprive the jury of the basic evidence that you can't really do this. That basically what was being suggested was that this real evidence should have been veiled or diluted or conveyed in a narrative by another witness. She said that the judge had discretion to do it and properly exercised that discretion. Another reason she said that the videos should have been shown was during his interviews, Dwyer had played down his involvement in BDSM, which was, I suppose, the loose description of the scene he was involved in. And he had said, for example, that he wasn't into what he called knife play, that he said he would never bloodlet, that didn't do it for him. Anne-Marie Lawler, the DPP counsel, said, well, look, the jury was entitled to see what was in these videos, to see Dwyer's demeanor, and to juxtapose that with what he had said to Gardaí in the interviews, that clearly he had lied during the interviews, because here he was and he was using the knife in a manner that was contrary to his own description of how he conducted himself with women.
What is the likely outcome, if we can project forward here, of this appeal and the consequences of that?
I suppose it's all going to hinge on a few issues. The counsel for the DPP have basically said that, okay, we don't accept that the metadata evidence should be excluded, but even if it is excluded, there's ample other evidence there that would have A, identified Graham Dwyer as a suspect, and B, been sufficient to convict him. So the judges are going to have to, first of all, wrestle with the metadata issue, I think. And if they decide, well, okay, maybe there should have been this test applied, that's one issue. But they may be able to park that if they come to the view that, well, look, there was all of this other stuff. One thing that Sean Gearan, one of the DPP counsels, made a repeated point of during the appeal was that basically the metadata evidence paled in terms of its significance compared to the other evidence that was amassed. And we're talking about 2,600 text messages taken from phones, that a lot of these were Elaine O'Hara's. Dwyer himself is only challenging the metadata issue in relation to his own work phone. He isn't challenging it in relation to a second phone, which is described as the master phone. And this was, in the trial, it was alleged that this was a burner phone that Dwyer used to contact Elaine O'Hara. And there was some pretty compelling evidence put forward, you know, based on the content of the texts that were sent from this phone, various things that Dwyer did in his personal life that were able to be matched up by the guard. So he said he was going to a particular meeting, and that night there was an aeronautical club meeting that he went to. He made reference to a baby being born, and there was evidence before the court that on the day that that text message, you know, child was born, and date of birth and all that was proved to the jury. And there's lots of other examples there, which, you know, really all point at Graham Dwyer. So it is quite a strong rebuttal that the DPP has put forward. If I was a betting man, I would be betting that Graham Dwyer probably won't be seeing the light of day anytime soon. But look, I'm not a judge of the Court of Appeal, and look, there may be something in there that they see would warrant a retrial or whatever. I think definitely he is fighting an uphill battle.
My thanks to Shane Phelan. I'm Fionnán Sheehan, and today's episode was produced by Mary Carroll and Tabitha Monaghan, with sound by John Smith. Archive clips from RTE News and independent.ie. If you enjoy the Indo Daily, don't forget to like, follow, and leave us a review.